We just want to say thank you, Lord. Father, we want to say thank you. Father, we want to say thank you for your love that you have for us. We want to say thank you, Lord. Because we know for a fact that we're children of God. Father, we want to say thank you, Lord. Father, we just appreciate you for your goodness, for your love, for your compassion. Father, we say thank you, Lord. Almighty Father in heaven, we pray that you please help us, oh God, that the words that we've sung to you, that it'll be a reality in the name of Jesus. That if the galaxies praise your name, so will I. If everything around praises you, so will I. That I'll be able to also surrender myself to you, Lord. That this will not just be mere words, Lord. But Father, please help us that this will be our reality in the name of Jesus. Father, we just bless your name. As we go into your word, we pray that you please continue to speak to every one of us, oh God. Please have your way. Let your will be done in the name of Jesus. Please take absolute control that we will hear your word, you and you only, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Choir, that was fantastic. That was awesome. You know, it's probably for a reason that I don't have voice like choir. If I had some of those voices, man. As in, God knows that that one, no, let's not give him that voice. I pray that God will continue to use you guys mightily in the name of Jesus. That your light will not go dim, but you continue to shine brighter and brighter in the name of Jesus. Amen. We had our Bible reading taken from Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And that's where we're going to continue from, Isaiah chapter 60. Anyone in Isaiah chapter 60, can you please read the first verse in Isaiah chapter 60? Isaiah chapter 60, if you're there, please read the first verse. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Can you say to your neighbor, arise and shine? Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. That's what the Bible, that's what God is saying to us this morning, that it's time for us to arise and shine. Amen. It's time for you to do what? Arise and shine. It's time for you to do what? It's time for you to do what? It's time for you to do what? It's time for us to arise and shine. Amen. Where we have been, we've been there for too long. It's now time for us to arise and shine. And guess what? It's actually easy to arise and shine. Do you know why? Do you know why it's easy to arise and shine? Look at the next verse. What does the next verse say? Verse 2, what does it say? The darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. Hello, is that what's happening right now? Is that what's happening right now? Darkness has covered the people. People don't know the difference between right and wrong anymore. The goalpost keeps changing. And God is saying to us that it's time for you to arise and shine. It's time for you to arise and shine. For darkness has covered the whole place. I pray that for every one of us, we would arise and shine in Jesus' name. It's time to stop playing. It's time to stop doing things the way we used to do it. Exactly a year and eight days ago, we looked at a topic called the modern day Pharisee. The modern day Pharisee, or the Pharisee in me. I don't know how many of you remember. And we looked at the characteristics of a modern day Pharisee. We discovered that these people, they start with a good intention. They start with good intention. They go to church, but they confuse spirituality and the way they do things. They confuse seeking God's face, seeking God's hand. There's a lot of confusion that happens. A modern-day Pharisee thinks that coming to church, they come to church to just tick box. I've come to church because my mom will ask me, did I go to church? I've come to church because my head of department says I should go to church. If I don't go to church, he's going to be chasing me. Some people come to church just to, you know, so that, and that's a Pharisee. A Pharisee would do things, would come to church because of, but forgetting the fact that we've come to church to worship God. That's what a modern day Pharisee would do. And we looked at the life, we examined the life of these Pharisees, what they think and how they do things. And a year on, have we changed or are we still like that? Are we still those people that just, you know, just turn up? A modern day Pharisee will not condone homosexuality, will not condone sex before marriage. But guess what? They delight in watching, you know, movies that promote these things. They don't have an issue with that. That's a modern day Pharisee. If you have an issue with it, have an issue with it completely, not just, you know, some of it. That's a modern day Pharisee. A modern day Pharisee does not know the difference between a new convert and a new member in church. We had people that came to church today, right? New people. A modern day Pharisee will be happy that people have come to church today. But guess what? If they're already Christians, heaven is still okay. A modern day Pharisee thinks that new people coming to church is the same thing as new converts. We know that they're different, right? They're completely different. So a modern day Pharisee, now begin to examine your life. Am I a year on? Is that still the same with me? A modern day Pharisee will not repent of sin. They know it's wrong, but will continue to sin. That's a modern day Pharisee. A modern day Pharisee would read the Bible only to substantiate their convictions, but will not read the Bible so that the Bible can transform their lives. That's a modern day Pharisee. And guess what Jesus had issues with? He had issues with the Pharisee. He and the Pharisees, people that play church, he had issues with them. If you're going to be hot, be hot. If you're going to be cold, be cold. It's time for us to arise and shine. Amen. It's time for us to arise and shine. Say to your neighbor, it's time for us to arise and shine. Say, there's darkness everywhere. Gross darkness has covered the people. And this we can see. But we need to stand. We need to be different. You know, what we see in our day and age is no different to what has happened in the past. There's no difference. All of these things that we're seeing right now, it's just getting worse, but we've seen all of these things we've seen before. Do you talk about Noah? God saw everywhere. God saw what the place looked like, and God was thinking, seriously? You know, I'm so glad that God made a promise that he was never going to flood the whole earth again. If he hadn't made that promise, God, I don't know how many times he would have, like, this one's. He made the promise that he was never going to do that again. But in that time, somebody chose to arise and shine. Noah chose to arise and shine. You know, honestly, these people are people like you and I. They're ordinary people like you and I, but what did they do? They decided that, I am going to arise, I'm going to be different. And is that the same with us? God is saying to us, it's time to arise and shine. I pray that indeed we would hear the word of God in the name of Jesus. So, what are we looking at today? A year ago, we looked at the lifestyle of a Pharisee. But now we're going to look at being Christ-like in this modern society. Being Christ-like in this modern society. How can I be a Christian in this modern society? Being Christ-like in this modern society. And I think the first thing that we need to understand, if we're going to arise and shine, if we're going to be Christ-like in this modern society, is that We need to understand that there is a higher calling upon our lives. There's a higher calling upon your life. Amen. Isaiah 60, there's a higher calling upon your life. Arise and shine. God is giving us that commandment. There is a calling upon your life that it's time for you to arise and shine. You are important. You are relevant. You were made to make impact. Amen. You were made to make impact. You were made for a purpose. God says that the hairs on your head were what? Are what? No. They're numbered. I know they sound similar, right? They sound similar. But you know, there's a difference between counted and numbered. There's a difference. When I count things, if I count these chairs, 1, 2, 3, as in, okay, 50 chairs. 50 chairs on this side. Which of them is the 14th chair? I just know there are 50 chairs there. But when things are numbered, that's one, that's two, that's three. The hairs on our head, they're numbered. Amen. That's how important you are. God, you're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. God knows everything about you. And he's saying to you now that it's time to arise and shine. Stop playing church. Stop being a lackadaisical Christian. It's time for us to arise, and it's time for us to shine. You were bought with a price, and that price was the Son of God. Does that tell you how special you are? You're not meant to be like everyone else. You're different. No matter where you find yourself, don't confuse your identity. Don't confuse your identity. And I think that's one of the things that the enemy is doing to plague our generation, our young ones, is that we're like this in church, we're like this at home, but we're like this somewhere else. We have different identity. Don't confuse your identity. And you know, I always thank God for my life that sometimes you look back and you reflect and you're like, wow, it can only be God. I thank God that when I was much younger, I'm still very young. I'm still extremely young. Ugo, we're young, right? I did not confuse my identity. Amen. I knew who I was, and I stood on what I was. Amen. I stood on those principles. Everywhere I went to, everywhere I was, people knew me for who I am, and people still know me for who I am. Don't confuse your identity. Know who you are and walk with who you are. Amen. Walk with who you are. These days, people have so many lives, and because of that, they cannot truly reflect Christ. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. There's a story in the Bible that I read recently, and I thought to myself, wow, it's the story of Stephen. You know, Stephen, they didn't talk much about Stephen in the Bible, but what they did talk about were important things. It was said that the disciples, after the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, they were preaching and people were converting into Christianity. But it now became a time where they felt that Uncle Debo was not serving some members of the church. Uncle Debo was not giving some members of the church food. And so the apostles and disciples, they decided that, you know what, let us find six people that would do that job so that we can give ourselves to what? To prayers and the ministry. So they decided that we'll get another six people. So they decided Uncle Ugo, Uncle Oge. So they called six people that, you know what, join Uncle Debo in doing that job. Seven? They called seven people. Okay, seven. They called seven people, that's fine. One of these seven people that were called was Stephen. Was who? Stephen. What was Stephen's job? What was his job? Based on the description that we just had, his job was to go and help Uncle Debo, right? To go and help in serving food and things like that. But Stephen was Stephen knew who he was. Amen. Stephen knew who he was. There were some other people that were set aside. They said, let us know, as in, they said, let us give ourselves to prayer and the ministry. But those guys, you know. But Stephen knew who he was. And one point came that they arrested Stephen. They accused him of saying things that he did not say. But guess what? Stephen knew who he was. And they stoned him to death. They stoned Stephen to death. But Stephen did not waver in who he was. Was Stephen the pastor? Was he a bishop? Was Stephen a geo? No. Irrespective of where you find yourself, know who you are, know your identity. Irrespective of the darkness around, know who you are and choose to stay true to who you are. Amen. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. That our lives, we'll know how important our lives are in the hands of God. You know, a lot of us, we don't know how important we are. That's why we do some of the things that we do. If we knew how important we are, there's some things that we won't even go near. There's some things we won't engage in. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. How do I stay Christ-like in a modern society? I'm sorry if you don't like it. I just don't want to say how am I a Christian, because a lot of people call themselves Christians out there. We're Christians. I'm not denying that fact. But I'm saying that how can we be Christians? How can we be Christ-like in this modern society? So, understand that there's a higher calling upon your life. Yeah? Two. If you want to stay Christ-like, you need to have a heart for Christ. If you want to stay Christ-like, you need to have a heart for Christ. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. It says that, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. And when we look at our memory verbs, Proverbs chapter 3, that tells us that we should bind peace and faithfulness. We should bind it around our necks. It says that we should write them on the tablets of our hearts. How am I going to be Christ-like in this society? I need to have a heart for Christ. Having a heart for Christ means that we need to be proactive. A lot of us are reactive. A lot of us are reactive. And how many of us saw the petition going around last week or 2 weeks ago about how in schools they want to teach, they want to add, self-stimulation. So how many year old? Six. So wait, that's like my NFL, teaching self-stimulation. How you touching yourself. As in, honestly, when I saw that, I was like, gross what? Gross darkness. That's what the Bible says. Gross darkness has covered the people. It's time for us to arise and shine. If we are to be Christ-like, we need to be proactive. Amen. We need to be proactive. So we're now signing petitions that, okay, you know what, they should not have that. And I'm not sure, I think, have they got to 8,000? 8,000, so they've got past 8,000. Okay, that's good. But you know, it's not a case of, oh, this is what is going on, and then we need to be extremely proactive. Honestly, all of these things are because of what we seem to lower our standard, we seem to water down our standard. And when we water down our standard, what keeps happening? All forms of things just keep creeping in. As Christians, we need to be Christ-like. We need to be proactive. What does that mean to be proactive? If you need to be part of, how many of us are part of the any governance school board? In a school? Pastor, you are? Oh, that's good. Thank you, sir. we're part of, you know, you don't have to have a child to be part of the governance, to be part of the committee. We need to be proactive. You know, all of these things stems from conversations that they're having in those board meetings. That's where some of these things come from. Well, Christians, we're at the end of the line. Now, being reactive, we need to be proactive. People, it's time for us to arise and... It's time for us to arise and... It's time for us to arise and shine. We need to have a heart for Christ. We need to be the ones that study. You know, coming to church is not as in... Coming to church on a Sunday basis, on a Sunday, on you come to church on Sunday, every Sunday, I don't think that would make you a mature Christian. I don't think that would make you a mature Christian because you just hear the word and you go. It will only make you a mature Christian if you hear the word, you take it home, you study it, you look back on it, you meditate on it. That is what would make you a mature Christian. A mature Christian. A lot of us were here, as in, do we remember what we did, what we looked at last week? If we don't write, if we don't study, as in, we're just going to be on the same level. We need to take the place of studying. We need to take it seriously. If I'm going to arise and shine. We need to spend time with other believers. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. We need to ensure that the people that we're working with are not people of the world. I'm not saying that we should not mingle with people of the world, but the people that we're being equally yoked with, that they're not people of the world. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says, "Do not be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." Who do you stay closest to? Who are your close buddies? Think about it. Who are your close buddies? Are they people in church? Are they Christians? Are they people that would sharpen you? Or who are your close buddies? Are they people? Who do you spend most of your time with? Or are they just people that don't believe in God? He says what? Do not be deceived. But guess what? A lot of us are being deceived. We're being deceived. That's why we think that we can keep the wrong company and still stay Christ-like. Don't be deceived. Well, no. We're like, okay, we'll be fine. Things will turn out well. No. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So guess what? You have good habits. You have good things that you do. But when you keep the wrong company, what will happen to those good things? What will happen to those good habits? They will change. They will be corrupt. Corrupt. Okay, a good explanation of corrupt is, how many of us back up our phones? You back up the data on your phone. If it gets corrupt, what happens? You lose it, as in, you lose the whole thing. When it gets corrupt, I mean, it's a painful experience when that happens to all your data. When it gets corrupted, it's a painful experience. But that's what the Bible is saying to us, that all of those good habits that you were keeping, if we're not careful, they will be corrupted. I pray that our good habits will not be corrupted in Jesus' name. Point number three. If I am to remain Christ-like, I need to have the same prayer pattern like Christ had. I need to have the same prayer pattern, something similar to Jesus Christ's prayer life. Do you know that Jesus Christ was always praying? He was always praying. He is God, right? God made manifest in human flesh, so like you and I. But did he spend time in prayer? Yes, he did. Some people, the only prayer that they pray is when they come to church. you think I'm joking. Honestly, that's just some people's prayers. Some people, the only prayer that they do is the prayer, is the family prayer that they have at home. Some people, the only time that they pray is when they go back home to meet their parents. Some people, the only prayer that they pray is corporate prayer that we have in church. What is your prayer life like? Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 37. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 37. If I am going to arise and shine, then I need to have a steady prayer life. I need to have a consistent prayer life. Mark chapter 1, 35 to 37. Now in the morning, having risen a while long before daylight, having risen a long while before daylight. So that would be around when? Anyone? Around 3 a.m. Yeah, 3 a.m. Because before daylight, you know, in summer, sometimes our daylight comes up around 5, around 6. Yeah? Well, so let's just say, for argument's sake, maybe 5. Yeah? Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Okay, verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. They were looking for him. You know, you get home, all of us were sleeping together in the same house, and then all of a sudden we cannot find Auntie Ayefe. We're looking for Auntie Ayefe. Why? Ayefe has gone to pray. That was the habit of Jesus Christ. He would wake up in the morning, he would go and pray. If we're going to arise and shine, if we're going to live a Christ life in this day, we need to take the place of prayer seriously. The prayers that we're praying is not just Sunday prayer. It's not just corporate prayer. They were looking for him. Luke 5, verse 16. Luke 5, verse 16 says that, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. That was what he did usually. We see the case of Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego. Daniel was always doing what? Praying. These people are the people that in their time, they were different. In their time, they decided to rise and shine. They had a steady prayer life. And we see that through the scriptures, that Jesus was always going to pray. He was always going to pray such that one day, after prayer, one of his disciples said to him, do you know what they said to him? They noticed his life. They noticed how much he prayed. That they decided that what? Jesus, teach us to pray. Was Jesus not praying with his disciples? He would probably have been praying with his disciples. But his prayer, the prayer life that was recorded for us was that he was always going to places. He was always withdrawing. When was the last time you withdrew to pray? That was his lifestyle. Such that when he came back from prayer one day, one of his disciples said to him that, you know what, please teach us to pray. You see some people, they're really good at that. You're like, wow, how do you do it? How do you manage it? Tell me how you do it. Tell me what you do. And that's exactly what happened with the case of Jesus Christ. His disciples said to him, teach us to pray. And something, a very funny incident happened in the Bible in the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. So a man had, is he a demon-possessed child? And the disciples, you know, they laid hands on the boy. They laid hands on the child. I'm not sure if it's a boy again. I think it was a boy, but I'm not sure. Anyway, they laid hands. They did all sorts. They shook the boy's head. You know, nothing happened. And then the man now saw Jesus. Now said, Jesus, this your disciples could not do it. And Jesus said to them, how long will I be with you? And he prayed for the child. The evil spirit left the child. And then later on, his disciples went to meet him and said to him that, Why is it that we couldn't do what you did? What was his reply to them? Verse 21. Or is it verse 20? Matthew 17:21. What was his reply to them? This kind goeth not but what? By what? As in, we need to be a bit, what's going on? This is not my intention to make you reflect. But if God wants us to reflect, that's good. But Jesus Christ was saying that to them, that this kind does not go except by what? Did they pray? They prayed. They prayed the kind of prayer that they did. But the prayer that Jesus Christ was talking to them about was the kind of prayer that he prays. If we're to make impact in where there's gross darkness, where there are demons everywhere, people, we need to pray. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to rise up in the morning. We need to, because we've established that there's gross darkness, right? We've established that, yeah? There's gross darkness. I asked the question, how many of us can see that? And we said, yes, we can see that in today's society. And if there's that darkness, if we are to make those darkness flee, what do we need to do? We need to spend time in prayer. I pray that God will help us to spend time in prayer, that it will not just be a case of corporate prayer this morning. We're praying for our marriages. Some people, when they hear that prayer point, they're like, I'm not married, so I'm not praying. Hello? That prayer point was not just for people that are actually married. It was for people that are yet to be married as well. Okay? So should we take corporate prayer again? Sister Pat said no. Amen. We need to spend time in prayer. And it's not just prayer meetings. Some people show up, some people don't show up. But yeah, we need to spend time. We need to pray the kind of prayer that Jesus was praying. Amen. If we're going to live the life that Christ has called us to live, then we need to ensure that we're not conforming. As in, if we're going to be Christ-like, we need to be like who? Christ, not the world. Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite chapters. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Who wants to quote Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 for us? Who wants to have a go? Romans 12, 1 to 2. You want to have a go? Romans 12, 1 to 2. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Who wants to have a go? Okay, Uncle Yemi has had a go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's not about how worldly I can be and still remain a Christian. How worldly can I be and still be a Christian? You know, that's what's going through some of us, our minds. Does that make sense? How worldly can I be and still, you know, the end, as in the I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian, but how worldly can I be? What are the things I can still? What are the things that I can do? What are the things that the Bible does not say categorically don't do? You know, those are the kind of things that some people think about. What are the things I can get away with? What are the things that? Well, guess what? It said that the Bible is saying to us that we should not conform to this world. We should not conform to the patterns of this world. Because the world is doing it does not mean we should do it. Honestly, my take on standards are different. There's a higher calling upon our lives, and because there's a higher calling upon our lives, as in If you don't go to church today, will that prevent you from getting to heaven? No. But my take in life is that it's beyond that. I just don't want to go to church. I want to be part of the service. But some people are thinking, if I don't go to church today, it's okay. How worldly can I be and still remain a Christian? Hello, we need to be on the other side. I love Romans chapter 12 because it says something. I know I've said this so many times and I will keep saying it because I totally believe in it. It says that, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So that means that what? We should be getting better and better, better and better. Last week I was okay. I was okay with, over the years I've been okay with maybe, you know, just having quiet time with my family. But this year, I have my own quiet time. We should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we should be able to do what? That we may prove. What does prove mean? What does prove mean? Prove to be outstanding. Prove to show. To prove that what? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? God has not called you to be a mediocre Christian. God has not called you to be a Christian that says to yourself, how much of an unbeliever can I be and remain a Christian? Neither has God called you only to be good. There's a difference between good and acceptable. Some things are good, they're not acceptable. Make sense? Some things are good and they're not acceptable. Some things are good, acceptable, but they're not the will of God. They're not the perfect will of God for you. Hello? They're good. They're acceptable. We know it's okay. But that's not the will of God. God has not called us to just good, acceptable, but he has called us to good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I'm thinking, I'm sat there thinking, how much of an unbeliever can I be? Hello, we should be on this spectrum of how good, acceptable, and perfect. It's not all things that are good and acceptable that is the will of God for you. Others can do it as in that. Others can, as in yeah, go and do it. But that's not me. I pray that God would help us. That we will not conform to this world. If we conform, then what will happen? We're going to be dark as well. Like Isaiah says, we're going to be exactly the same thing if we're conforming. Because when we're conforming, what happens? We get corrupted. If I'm going to live a Christ-like life in this modern society, then I need to ask myself some questions. One, do I need somebody to teach me how to be Christ-like? Do I need a teacher? I probably need someone to teach me. I probably need somebody to guide me. I probably need somebody to mentor me. I probably need someone to tell me that this is the way that I should go and this is the way that I should refrain for that. I probably need that. Do I need somebody that can tell me that what I'm doing is right or wrong? Do I need somebody like that? Do you need somebody like that? Think about it. Do I need someone that can correct me? I need somebody that can correct me. If I'm to stay on the narrow, if I'm to stay there, I need someone that can say to me that what you're doing here is wrong. I need that. If I'm to stay on the... I need somebody as well to tell me about things that are going to happen. Like, for instance, guess what? If we knew that they were going to promote some of these agendas that they promoted, some of us would have been in school boards a long time ago. Some of us would have been in places of, if we knew all of these things that are happening right now, if we knew that we're going to be persecuted so much, okay, one of our points is actually persecution. But if we knew all of these things, what would happen? We would have taken measures. If I know that this screen is going to fall down, what do? I take a measure to make sure that it doesn't fall down. But that's what if I know. So I need to know that these things can happen or these things will happen. And once I know that, then I can put measures in place. So do I need to know things that are to come? Yes, I do. Wouldn't it be nice to know the truth? Now they say we live in a post-truth world. Wouldn't it be nice to know the truth? You know, if you don't believe in absolutes, the devil is going to mess you up if you don't believe in absolutes. If you don't believe in right and wrong. Because like we said earlier, the goalpost keeps changing. Yesterday, the world was doing it. Today, something else they're doing. Next tomorrow, what will happen? I pray that it will not be the case in Jesus' name. I pray that God will help every one of us to know the truth. Wouldn't it be lovely to have wisdom against oppositions? As in, I have wisdom. No matter what they throw at me, I have the wisdom to... No, that's as in, I know exactly where they're coming from. I can get behind the question that they ask. I can get to the root. I love Jesus Christ. You know, when they found the lady, the lady that was found in adultery. Wisdom. He said to them, if there's any without sin, let him be the first to cast the stone. Wow. There's some things that some people say to us that, you know, sometimes we're thinking about later and that, oh, how I wish I'd said this. How I wish I'd said something differently. Wouldn't it be good to have the wisdom to tackle some of these questions that people pose at us? It would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to pray for the sick and the sick receive their healing? Wouldn't it be nice? But guess what? All of these things that we've said can be found in one and one thing only. And you know what that is? Who teaches us? The Holy Spirit. Who gives us power? The Holy Spirit. Who gives us wisdom? Who tells us about things to come? The Holy Spirit. Scripture keeps telling us about what the Holy Spirit will do for us. John chapter 14, 26. It says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. John chapter 16, verse 7 to 8. It says that, do you need evidence? Do you need somebody to prove if it's right or wrong? It says the Holy Spirit will do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11 says that the Holy Spirit knows things that are to come. John chapter 16, verse 13 says that the Holy Spirit will teach us the truth, will tell us the truth. Acts chapter 6, verse 7 said that Stephen was able to stand against the opposition with wisdom because of what? He had the Holy Spirit in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 12 says that we'll pray for the sick and they will receive their healing because we have the Holy Spirit. All of these things that we've mentioned, if you want to have them, then we need to understand that we need to walk with the Holy Spirit. If we're to live a Christ life like in this society where we are right now, we need to ensure that we are in close communication. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Our time is fast spent, but I'd like us to rise to our feet as we pray. Let us rise to our feet as we pray. If we're to live a Christ life in this modern world, there will be persecutions. It's a point that we did not go through, but there will be persecutions. Embrace the persecution. The apostles, they were persecuted, and they were rejoicing because they were persecuted. So many places in the Bible tells us that blessed are you who when you're persecuted, it keeps saying that you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. In this life, we would get what? We would get persecuted. So just embrace it. Embrace the persecution. Some of us are afraid of the persecution. That's why we're not living, we're not arising, and we're not shining. We need to embrace it. It says that when we arise and shine, then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. The sons of foreigners shall build your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. Their kings shall minister to you. Your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. For the nations and kingdoms which do not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall utterly be ruined. All the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you. All those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the sole of your feet. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellency. I will make you a joy to many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and the milk, the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be with you, will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light. All the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also your people shall be righteousness. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Father, we want to say thank you for your word that has come to us today. The grace, the ability to live like Christ lived in this modern world. Father, please grant unto us in the name of Jesus. That we would realize that we're important, that we realize that it's time for us to move beyond where we are. It's time for us to move to the next level. Your word came to us at the beginning of the year that it's time for us to walk in spiritual maturity, to move up. Father, for every one of us, Lord, we pray that our lives will not remain the same in the name of Jesus. We pray that 2019 will not pass us by being exactly where we were. But Father, we pray that you please increase our faith. Increase us in you in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that more of you and less of us in everything that we do in the name of Jesus. As we go to our respective homes, Father, please be with us, Lord. We pray that you will not depart from us. Father, we pray that this week will be an excellent week for every one of us in Jesus' name. That this week we will come back rejoicing. That, Father, the things that we've been hoping for, Father, we pray, Lord, that we'll see the manifestations in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Lord, that whoever is going through one trial, tribulation, through a hard time, Father, we pray for more grace, Lord. We pray for more grace. We pray for more grace. We pray for more grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shall we share the grace in the fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful week.